Of the city of Fairhope. And good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. Good morning, Fairhope. I'm doing great. Thank you.
And it's great to have you here. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I had a very busy weekend, as usual. And, you know, well, it's hot. I'll tell you what. It's hard to get much yard work done on the weekends unless you do it very, very early in the morning or late in the evening. But, you know, nonetheless, another great weekend. You know, it's just my weekends are jam-packed, Mark, kind of like yours, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's hard for me to get out and do yard work on the weekend because I just don't like yard work on the weekend. So that makes it tough for me to do it.
You know, I wouldn't mind doing it late in the evenings, but when you're on the city council, you have so many committee meetings, council meetings to go to in the evenings that, you know, when it gets about that 6 o'clock hour where it starts cooling off just a few degrees, you know, I'm probably sitting in a meeting, so I have to punt until the weekend.
Ah, okay, yeah, because that's the time when I like to mow my grass or weed my little flower bed thing or do any of that. So,
right, and then you have your weekends free because you did it some late in the evening during the week. I used to be that way.
but not since city council days.
Not since the days of public service, though. But okay. That's okay. I enjoy it, so I'm not complaining. Not at all.
Well, speaking of which, we've got a city council meeting tonight, and looks like they all have a pretty full agenda here, 25 items on the agenda.
Yes.
So wanted to bring up any of them in specific?
Well, you know, can't talk this morning. I'm trying to talk too fast, Mark. I'm so excited to be here. on the work session, we do have one item. It's very important, though, I think, to the citizens, and that's an update on the Restore Act sewer project, and that's the $10 million that we're going to be receiving in BP oil spill money to improve our sewer infrastructure, and you know, that's been in the news for many years now, and we're still plugging along, and we're going to get an update on that from one of the engineers that's working that project. So that'll be very, very informative, and I look forward to being able to learn more about exactly where we're at with that project so that we can inform the citizens and let them know. So you'll have the mayor on tomorrow.
I'll have the mayor
on tomorrow. I'm sure that Mayor Sullivan will be able to give a good update on that as well.
Okay. They're working on Church Street right now, correct?
Yes, and that's actually that is not a part of the BP Restore Act money. That is actually some other monies. That's our own funds that's being used to perform this. Our Church Street, we're doing water, wastewater, stormwater, everything that we can do while we've got that street torn up. So that's going to be running from, as you know, probably Oak Avenue all the way down to Morphy, I believe.
Okay, and that's been a long time coming because they've been working on that since, what, about March?
At least.
It is in August. And
yeah, at least, you know, and it's slow going. It's a residential on one side, a CBD or Central Business District on the other side of the street, heavily traveled. It's a narrow street too, so it's just there's just a lot of work in one of our main hubs going on there, so it's slow going.
Okay,
but it's tedious, but they're being thorough, so that's what we want. We don't want to have to dig that up, you know, for quite a long time if we can help it.
Okay. Speaking of road construction, before we'll get back to the council meeting in a minute, but the intersection of 44. And 98 Twin Beach Road,
right
there by the school. How is that coming along?
Well, we were told not too long ago that intersection was going to be completed prior to the start of school, and now we're being told that we're running a little bit behind. You know, July was a very, very wet month.
Rained
almost every day, and now, you know, they're playing catch-up. Fortunately, the rain has actually missed Fairhope for the most part for the last, say, week and a half. And boy, everybody's yard and the intersections and the flowers and the plants are showing that. But they're playing catch up. As everyone knows, it rained. July was extremely wet. So they're doing all they can. You know, nobody wants to get it done more than they do, I'm sure. And hopefully we'll have, a new intersection with turn lanes, because that can be, you know, very, very tricky to maneuver, especially before school and after school.
Okay. Well, on to the meeting itself. You've got a couple of zoning ordinances, number 5, 6, and 7 on the...
Yeah, and all these are very, very important, I would say, Mark. Number five is final adoption. And when I say it is a final adoption, it's not a foregone conclusion. I mean, we do have to vote on it, but it is it would be a vote for a final adoption to amend the zoning ordinance. All three, 5, 6, and 7, are all amending this zoning ordinance. So the first one is amending Article 5. Part of the central business district overlay uses and short-term rentals will be allowed. So in the CBD, you have various zones within that. So you may have a B1, a B2, a B3. You may even have a little bit of R1 or R2 in the central business district. And so when you have that hodgepodge of zonings, whether that be business or residential, some of those do not allow short-term rentals. But being that it is the central business district, we have hotels in the central business district, of course, and so this will allow short-term rentals. And short-term rentals can take the place of hotel rooms. And I've heard many, many rumors of other hotels coming to town, and we need hotel space. We really do. There's not enough rooms to put people in when they come to visit Fairhope. And so we lose out. We lose out on, you know, the lodging taxes that they spend in Daphne, and maybe even the meals that they eat because they're staying in those hotels. And people come here a lot of times just to visit Fairhope, and we need to have a place to put these people. So with the mixed-use developments that are going on, that may be commercial or retail on the first floor, and we're going to get to that again in just a moment, and maybe some residential, some apartments or condos on second or third floor, we can take advantage of that, and the owners of the businesses can take advantage of that by allowing the short-term rentals. Which brings us to number 6, which is an amendment which will require a minimum of 50% of the gross floor area on the ground floor to be dedicated to commercial uses. You know, we don't want all of the CBD taken up with non-commercial uses, because that's the name, as the name implies. This is the central business district. So while we welcome the mixed use, we really have had a problem with some developers trying to skirt around the rules and say, all right, well, I set aside this much commercial space on the first floor, when it's really not useful space. It can't really be used for, it's not big enough to be used for commercial or retail purposes. So we're gonna impose this 50% rule to preserve the CBD.
Why 50%? Why not 100%?
Well, we wanted to come up with a happy median there. You know, all of that was looked at. You know, it used to be far less than 50%. But, you know, you could, well, you could consider that, I guess, Mark. But this is where the discussion landed as a maybe a compromise solution to being 100% or being none.
Okay. Yeah, it just seems that if that's the goal, to make more businesses in the central business district, I'm just wondering about some of the thought processes that went behind it. But I guess y'all right. probably had several hours worth of meetings that I'm asking you to concentrate in 2 minutes.
So, well, and also the last meeting when this was introduced and where they gave the very detailed overview, I don't know if you recall, but I was on travel and missed the last meeting. So
okay,
I'll get more details on that tonight.
Okay.
Okay, and then the number 7, this was a rezoning of some property out on 181. If you know where Windmill Road is, Windmill Road is on the same side as the Walmart Supercenter in Fairhope, and it's just to the south of Walmart. And so this would be rezoning some residential agriculture land to B4 business and professional district. And if you go to that area, you could readily see that is probably more business and professional, and I think that B4 is in keeping
okay.
With that area. You know, I don't know that many more homes are ever going to be built on 181, especially adjacent to Walmart, say between Walmart and Quail Creek. That's, if you think about that, there's restaurants there, there's some medical offices out there, some law offices out there, there's various, it's pretty much all business now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that there was any pushback from the people.
Okay, yeah, and folks would much rather have businesses in that area than have another 60 home development dropped into it. So
well, and that's very, very true. And as you mentioned that, Mark, I'll just kind of I'll divert from the agenda for a moment just to say that, you know, for all the people worried about the explosive growth, you know, I think that the mayor and the council are as concerned about that as any citizen is, and we're still looking at ways to deal with that, to slow that growth. And you got to be very, very careful to not stop growth. You know, in a capitalistic society, you need some growth, but we've got to find a rate at which we can maintain and keep our infrastructure up with the growth and still try to provide the amenities that people want. Now, you know, there are those that move to town and they want every amenity that they had, you know, in a city of a million people that they may have moved from. And we have to be mindful that we don't want to become a large metropolitan area, but too quickly, because we may well.
Because it's heading
one.
That way.
Right.
Yeah.
It is. So we struggle with it, but we are looking for ways to have a fine balance between property rights, affordable place to live, affordable place to work, and whatnot. It's definitely a difficult situation that this explosive growth creates. It makes it exciting. It makes it very, very dynamic. But when you don't want to destroy what the very thing that draws people here, it can be difficult, Mark.
Oh, sure. Well, as they say, may you live in interesting times.
We do. So. We do. And the secret's out. Everybody is flocking to Fairhope. And I was just reading, early this morning about a gentleman from, I believe, New Hampshire that wanted to move here to be near his parents, asking what people did here, and there's 1,000 different answers, and some of them not so nice, and others real nice, but people want to live here. So
Is there any way that what do you do to draw businesses here? What can be done for that?
You have to have a skilled labor force, and the one thing that we have that we've been trying for years is we do have a shovel-ready industrial park, light industrial park at the airport, and there's been a lot of businesses that have looked at that. I think that a lot of that, the interest has slowed down while people wait to see what happens with the pandemic. Not a good time to be establishing new businesses. I mean, I've even seen restaurants that are being renovated, and they're just waiting for the right time because there's no labor force right now.
Everybody's hiring.
I think labor shortage is a big issue right now. But we are still predominantly a bedroom community for Mobile, and we are a retirement community, and we have a lot of people that work from home. And we need industry here, but we need clean industry. I think people want clean. We don't want something that would be harmful to our environment. So without industry, it hurts our tax base when we're basically relying on sales tax and property taxes, and we don't have some big industry that pumps millions of dollars of tax money into the city's coffers. But we're trying to. We have the industrial park, but I think by and large, people like our tourist economy, our small retail outlets, and things such as that. We have some big department stores, like we have Walmart, and we have some big grocery store chains here in town. And I'm sure they're always looking to hire people as well. So as far as industry goes, that's a tough one. Where would you put them?
Right,
not going to go downtown. Mm-hmm. Very few places within the city. There's places outside the city to the east. But then you compete with the so-called mega site in North Baldwin County that would be attracting big, big, big businesses.
Big
now,
business.
You would get, when they land something big, you'll get a lot of people that will move to Fairhope and work there.
Okay. Speaking of big grocery chains, the Publix that's coming in, that's outside city limits, is that correct? Or is that
there are
limits?
A couple of them coming in. There's one coming in out on 104, and there's one that's coming in south of town. And I believe that the one coming in south of town is going to annex into the city of Fairhope.
Okay.
Which is a good thing, and I really appreciate that.
That was my next follow-on question.
Hats off to the mayor. I mean, she's been working with them quite a bit, and I think she's doing a real good job of convincing them that it's best for them to annex into the city of Fairhope. And I 104, I don't want to misspeak. I can't recall whether or not they're going to annex into the city or not. Right now, that property is just outside the Fairhope city limits, but I believe the mayor is also working with them. Ask the mayor about that, because I certainly don't want to get that one wrong.
Okay. Will do. I was also going to ask, speaking of grocery stores and stuff, have you heard anything about getting an Aldi's, or is that...
I have heard that rumor. You know, I don't know if that's for certain either, and I don't even know if I could say if I knew it for sure, but since I don't know it for sure, I can just say that I have heard the rumor of that going in and out on County Road 48 near the Walmart. But once again, I asked the mayor if I did know for sure. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I've heard the rumor. I think a lot of people have heard the rumor.
Okay, still in the rumor stage at this.
Well, point. I don't know if it's beyond that or not. It very well could be, but for me, you know, some of those that you know haven't come before the council for rezoning, a lot of times that doesn't come before council, and I have so much on my plate that until it becomes an issue that I need to make a decision on, I'm working on the other hot button issues right now.
Sure.
Great question, but until it gets mature to the stage that I need to look at it, I have not, to be quite honest.
I can completely respect that. So often here we deal in segments of 5 minutes. You know, don't bother me with what happened 5 minutes ago. Don't bother me with what's happening 5 minutes from now. I only deal with what's happening within this 5 minute space.
Let's talk about that for a moment. Let's just jump ahead in the agenda real quick, because I want to talk about something, if you don't mind, that I've received several emails and Facebook messages about concerning pay and bonus pay to employees. And then there's also a resolution that will be considered tonight to give additional money to employees if they are vaccinated. And apparently there was a news segment. I must have missed it, because they, you know, the news, the broadcast news, when you say 5 minutes, well, nobody gets 5 minutes. You're lucky to get 10, 20 seconds there. So I'd like to give some information on that, if I may, Mark. So we are going to vote. Item 25 is regarding the American Rescue Plan Act. And we have been given money which we can give to employees for pay, if they were employed during the COVID crisis, just to help the employees, you know, deal with having to the stress of having to come to work. Now, if I was going to talk about my own personal feelings about this, Mark, what I would tell you is I don't think the federal government should be giving this money away, period. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't think that they should. But I'm stuck with the decision that the federal government is going to give this money away, and I didn't make that decision. So am I going to turn it down when they're offering a fixed amount, and it is a fixed amount, to our city? And the answer to that is nobody expects me to say, no, they're giving us free money, you can't turn it down, because nobody else is going to turn it down. Well, if I thought every county in every city in the United States was going to just say, no, we're going to give it back, we don't believe in this, then I would be the first to say, we're not going to take it, because I think it's just more ridiculous federal spending. They've gone crazy in Washington. I think they've lost their collective minds when it comes to spending. The federal government, in my opinion, wasn't established to dole out money. And this is one reason why people don't go to work. You know, they're making money sitting at home. But these are to pay people that are employed. They're current employees. They were employed. It's being given to us, like it or not. I don't like it, but it's being given to us by the federal government, and we are going to give these people that dealt with company, if we vote yay on this tonight, we are going to give these employees the either $125 for seasonal, $250 for part-time, and $500 for full-time employees. Now, the next portion of that is, so it's not local tax money.
Okay,
it is tax money. It's federal tax money.
But it's federal. It's not.
It's federal. But let me tell you, if City of Fairhope turns down the $970,000, every other city in America would be glad to take it from us.
Well, they're going to give it to somebody. They may as well give it to us.
Right. So item 26 is an incentive program for employees to get vaccinated. And that is an additional $500 for full-time, $250 for part-time, $125 for seasonal. Now, if you just get past the part that it's federal money and it's not local money or local revenues being spent on this, you could accept it a little bit more. But I've had some people push back and say, why are we giving this money away as an incentive? Well, they don't have to get vaccinated. We're not making anybody get vaccinated. I believe the science says if you get vaccinated, you have a much less chance of severe illness or death. We're learning now that you can still catch COVID even if you're vaccinated. Not saying that you won't, but it clearly points to less risk of severe illness, hospitalization, and death. That's what the science tells us. So as an incentive for employees to get vaccinated, because, you know, I think we have something like maybe 17 employees out right now, too.
Oh, goodness.
And so it hurts the city. We're not, one citizen referred to it as a bribe. It's not a bribe. You don't have to take it. I mean, it's just there if you want to get vaccinated or if you have been vaccinated. So we're going to call it incentive, and we'll see how that goes tonight. I know that there's some pushback on that, though. I do recognize that, Mark.
Okay. Well, as far as the first item goes, I think that's just fine. You know, the folks that have worked all the way through, when so many others could have taken the unemployment and could have taken the extra money for that, those workers that worked through and got us through the dark times as they were, you know, this is just a little bonus saying thank you. That's how I see it.
Well, let me also add that all the other municipalities around us, they're doing the same thing.
Sure.
And so we want our employees to feel as if we care about them. So if one municipality does it and another doesn't do it, I think it sends the wrong message to our employees that we don't care about them. And we do care about them. So while I don't think the federal government should be funding any of this, if other municipalities are going to take this money and spend it to give bonuses to their employees, I think that we have to follow suit or we're going to lose some valuable employees. That's what I think.
I think that's altogether possible, yeah.
Yeah, it's very possible. We've been losing employees to other municipalities and the county a good bit lately at a very much higher rate than we're comfortable with. So we definitely want to do what we can to keep our employees. Now, I had asked, could we give them the bonus with the understanding that if they left within a certain amount of time after giving them the bonus, that they would have to pay it back. But we can't do that because this is, remember, hindsight. This is giving money to people that were working through the COVID. So we cannot do that, which is, to me, a little bit concerning because there might be some that will take their bonus if they're looking at another job and then immediately leave. But I guess that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Now,
I don't like it, but it's the way it is.
Yeah. What can be done to retain people? Because if you look at the city's website, you have about 15 positions that you're hiring for right now. So,
that's a great question.
How do you maintain more employees? So.
Well, I did some ride arounds with some department heads over the last week and a half, and one of them stated it best. It's every employee is a different situation. You know, there's not a silver bullet. Some people, for instance, are just unhappy in their job. You know, you can't make them happy. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much money. You can give them a raise, and they may stick around for a little longer, but there's some underlying issue. You can't make everyone happy. That's just a natural thing. Others may be more specific to their work environment, a coworker. They don't like their manager, and that's where you have to have communications and have somebody that they can go to and tell of their grievances and see if that can't be worked out. You know, maybe that makes its way to the mayor and the mayor sits down with the person and whatever their grievance is and see if they can't work that out. And I think that Mayor Sullivan is aware of that. And I think that she's, if she's not already, I'm certain she's already trying to solve those. And then there are the issues of pay. Now, we've gotten into a vicious cycle with the fact that everybody needs employees that somebody will pay a higher wage, and then if you match it, you know, it's a vicious cycle. Let's say they give anybody a raise. They give a certain position a $2,000 a year raise in average salary. Well, we could match it, and then the next thing that happens is you just keep leapfrogging each other. So where does this, like the NFL, where does it end? You know, mm-hmm. And then you get into a situation where you can't afford to pay the employees if you play the keeping up with the Joneses game. We've always been able to provide great benefits. We still provide a great benefit package to our employees. I have told the department heads that I think it's important that the employees be reminded of their total compensation. It's not just your salary. It's what are your benefits? What are your health care benefits account for? Maybe you get to drive a vehicle home. What is that worth? And, you know, for years I've been told we were going to give them their total benefits, and I asked the question, had it been done lately? And it hasn't. And we need to do that. It's a pretty simple thing to do, to calculate what people's total compensation is. And we need to educate people that. I'm not going to say what department, but a couple of years ago, another local municipality was taking some of our experienced employees because they were giving them a $1,500 signing bonus. And I mentioned this about two or three council meetings. Maybe we need to do that to attract some hirees, mm-hmm. give some signing bonuses to employees, and maybe give bonuses to the employee that recruited that person. And I stand behind that. I will still do that to attract new employees, because we have a workforce of over 300 people. You can have them out beating the bushes trying to get skilled people in here to work, and give them a bonus for when we do hire them.
Yeah, a bird dog fee.
You know, it's very, very commonly done, and usually you tie that to, well, that person has to stay at least a year, and then you give them that bonus at the end of that 1 year. So there are a number of ways to do that. But anyway, back to the story of this other municipality was giving these employees, I think it was a $1,500 signing bonus. You know, I don't know that we did a good job of going to those people that were considering leaving until it was too late to say, well, wait a minute, you're going there, but your health care is going to cost you, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 more a year. In less than 6 months, your $1,500 bonus has been eaten up in additional health care cost to you, or health care insurance premiums. And so you have to make sure they know all the benefits, and we need to sit back, get that on paper, give that to every employee, if not every year, at least every couple of years, to let them know that they are getting good pay and that we do appreciate them. And we need to do a good job of letting our employees know that we appreciate them. And I think that's something that we're trying to do. We're still less than a year into Mayor Sullivan's administration. And, you know, she stays busy. She works nights. She works weekends. And it's a challenge to manage a dynamic city growing as fast as we are, Mark.
I believe it. We've almost tripled in size in the last 20 years. So,
yeah, we've tripled in size since I moved here, I know. And it's just absolutely amazing. And you know, the number of homes forecast to be built, it's just in the hundreds and thousands. You know, if you just go out a year, I mean, it's a massive number. And if you figure an average household of maybe three people, you're talking 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people a year moving here.
Wow.
That's another, you know, Baldwin County is growing at such a rate that a school has to be built every single year, one school a year, whether that be an elementary or a middle, you know, but one school is added a year. It's astonishing.
That's almost incomprehensible.
It is. If you look at the number of schools that have been built just over the last, say, 10 to 15 years, it's astonishing, and it's only growing at a faster pace.
Wow.
I know we didn't go over a lot of the agenda, but there are just a whole lot of, I would say, just everyday household items, approved a couple of hirings, some, you know, repairs being made to some of our buildings, miscellaneous purchases that are budgeted. Some of these are not budgeted, but we need them right away. We're having to approve things much farther in advance than we used to, because the supply chain is so backed up. You know, vehicles you can't find, parts you cannot find. It's very difficult. What you used to be able to get in a couple of weeks is now 6 to 8 months sometimes. Think about a new vehicle.
Yeah. Chips haven't been made internationally, so without chips being made, cars can't be made.
You know,
there's a shortage of steel. So
this is
federal government wants to spend money
Mobile,
and give away
Fair
money.
Hope.
Maybe
Great
they need to give it away to some industry to incentivize them to build these chips so that we're not so reliant on foreign manufacturers and bring the manufacturing back to the good old United States of America. That's what the money should be spent
on. Yeah.
Wouldn't take that much.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't take much.
Sure.
You know, this trillions of dollars in infrastructure, of which a very small part of that will go to infrastructure. How about throwing a few billion at chip manufacturing? How about that?
You got no argument from me. That's something I've been arguing for probably 20 years. So
I think that Democrats and Republicans alike are asking those questions. It makes no sense, Mark. I don't know why I'm on the, you know, I'm here. I am just a council member, but you know, it's a hot topic today. Some of the money being given away by the federal government. So I'm on my soapbox today about what they're doing and what they're spending money on, and it just doesn't seem to make sense.
Okay. Well, speaking of what the federal government is spending money on and not spending money on, let's go ahead and switch hats here and talk about the bridge.
Yes.
So. What's the status with that?
Unfortunately, you know, that week I was out of town. Week before last, I missed a council meeting. I missed two Eastern Shore MPO meetings, including the briefing by the Alabama Department of Transportation. And I have been told, I've got some glimpses of that. They still haven't given us any cost data. But one of the things that they do seem to be listening to is it looks like they may be abandoning the truck-only concept.
Okay.
And I think that's something that both sides of the bay, both the Mobile and Eastern Shore MPO, had questions about. Certainly the citizens questioned it. And I think that ALDOT has got the message that maybe that's not such a great idea. And thanks to them for listening to the people here. Now, I am concerned now when you talk about if you were to build this all at one time and not make it truck only, once again, people, leaving the legacy routes toll-free. You don't have to pay a toll unless you want to take the new route. The other routes that are there right now will still remain free. So you can go the way you're going right now. It's not going to cost you a nickel more. If you want to go on a new bridge, it's going to cost you. They are looking at that. I'm worried about the construction cost and what this pandemic has done to affect the labor shortages. And so what does that financial model look like? And if I had to guess, that may be one reason why it's taken them a little bit longer to come back with meaningful numbers that we can study and put a figure on that toll. But we're still planning on hammering Washington, and I'm still in favor of seeking a low-interest loan to do this. I don't see a path forward with grant money. We're certainly going to ask for it. We're going to ask for it in whatever infrastructure bill they get passed, if they do pass one. But if we're smart in a parallel path, and maybe the primary path is to get this money at a low interest loan so that the state of Alabama can manage this project. And look, hey, I'm with you folks who are saying, why should the state of Alabama do it? Well, that's the way it's done. The federal government is not going to manage this. The federal, you know, the FAA has, I'm not the FAA, but the FHA, the Federal Highway Administration, has turned the interstate highway system basically over to the states to maintain. And I think it will be a model for the future to get a low interest loan and not ask for a handout and get this bridge built, Mark.
Okay. Well, we covered a lot here. Is there anything else you'd like to do? It's 9:03, and we've got Swap Shop coming up in a few minutes. I know that you've got a busy day ahead of you, and you've been here for more than half an hour so far.
That's okay.
Right?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get on the road, and I have a pretty full day today when we have council meetings in the evening. It's all I can do to to keep up. But Mark, thank you for having me, and good luck with Swap Shop. I wish I could stick around and go on the air with you, especially since Lori's not here today.
Yeah, Lori is on vacation. Her son graduated from Auburn. She's up there visiting family and stuff. So congratulations to her.
Yes.
And congratulations. I haven't seen you. You were out, but congratulations on your Mississippi State winning the baseball championship. You a natty. Yay, good job.
That was, and you'd be surprised at how many people did not realize that was Mississippi State's first ever team national, in any team sport, a national championship. We've had some individual champions in various sports in which, you can win an individual championship, say track and field, for instance, or tennis or golf maybe, but none in team sports. And it came in what Mississippi State people would tell you is their best sport is baseball. I got to go. I went to Omaha for about 5 days with my family. And
oh,
we had a
awesome.
Good time. Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm proud of them. And I'm looking forward to some SEC football, though, Mark. I'm very, very concerned what it's going to look like with the Delta variant raging. But hopefully it will run its course very quickly. And I hate to say it that way, but it seems to be very contagious and, spreading like wildfire. And, maybe that flame will be extinguished pretty quickly. So if you haven't been vaccinated, I would ask you to consider it because it could save your life, could keep you out of the hospital.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, sir. Anything else?
That's it, Mark.
All right. Thank you, City
yes,
Council
sir.
President Jack Durrell from the City of Fairhope. Wonderful to have you in. We're going to get to Swap Shop in just a few minutes, but I'm going to play a couple of songs and stick around. We'll be back in a minute.
Thank you, sir.